Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 1st, 2018. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Great to have you here. And Andrew Orr, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. I am glad you're here as well. I'm also glad that our sponsor this week is LinkedIn Jobs, and which is apparently a little bit harder to say than I anticipated for a Monday morning. But
now you have practice.
Now I have practice. LinkedIn Jobs. There we go. I can do it now. So we'll talk about them soon and the cool deal that they have for all of you. But let's start off with something that you dropped in my lap right before the show, Dave.
Sure. So this actually, we will now have two podcasts published to MacObserver.com today that each contain this idea. This came up really, truly accidentally in Mac Geek Gab 729, which was published earlier this morning. We recorded it yesterday.
It'll be in the show notes so people can find it easy.
Yeah. And it, you know, mostly on Mac Geek Gab, we answer people's tech questions and dig into the tech side of stuff. But, you know, there are a couple of sort of holy grail things that we would love to see. And if, you know, longtime listeners would rewind and remember, we wanted iChat with tabs, right? And then finally we got it, which was great. And then we wanted the Finder with tabs. But one of the holy grail things is, you know, a workable iTunes, right? And we've talked about that.
Man, yeah.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, in answering someone's question yesterday, like that topic was resurfaced. And so we had an almost, you know, miniature TDO conversation about it. And I realized something. Mm-hmm. Many of us agree that iTunes in its current form is a little bit bloated and cumbersome, and perhaps I'm being polite, and needs a revamp. And I think there's people at Apple that agree with this too. They just haven't quite figured out the way to do it, or at least they haven't done it in a way that they've delivered it to us yet, but maybe they have figured out the way they want to do it. Because one of the things that comes up when we have this conversation about iTunes and it needs to be revamped is Apple should split it into separate apps, just like we have on iOS. So one for videos, one for music, one for podcasts, which they've already done, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one for syncing.
Another one for buying.
Another one for buying. Right. Yeah, exactly. Like all of these things, it makes sense if you look at the evolution, why they all got crammed into iTunes. But now it's time, right? Or actually perhaps long past time, depending on your opinion, for this to happen into separate apps. And I will, for the sake of linking this idea, I will say, just like on iOS. And that's when it hit me, because Mojave includes Marzipan, or as, you know, I mean, I don't know, that was Apple's code name or some code name that we think Apple used, which allows iOS apps to be compiled for the Mac and with different screens and things like that. But it essentially allows you to build one sort of large code base, and then, you know, compile for iOS and also for the Mac. And we see some examples of that shipping with Mojave, right? Mm-hmm. We get the Stocks app, we get the News app, we get other apps that don't come to mind and really aren't important, but they are there, right? And this is the reason that Mojave doesn't run on some computers that High Sierra did, because in order for iOS apps, apps built for iOS to work on macOS, they need to support Metal. It's assumed that iOS devices support Apple's Metal GPU technology. Not every Mac does. So Macs need Metal to run Mojave, presumably because Mojave has this Marzipan, you know, translation layer or whatever you want to call it in there. Mm-hmm. So there's the thought is, do we already see the path there? And then if, you know, playing with the idea of the answer is yes, is that the path we want? Like, I mean, I want it like they've done on iOS, but do I actually want the iOS version of the music app on my Mac? Like, I'm a little concerned at what that might look like.
I totally get your concern because
they haven't released anything. They haven't even said it's a thing. This is just Dave's crazy idea, but still, you know,
sometimes,
sure seems like a logical thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sometimes the crazy idea, when you hear it, you realize it's a lot more plausible than it sounds at first.
Yep.
And this is the year that Apple is testing with their own apps to make sure the whole Marzipan thing works the way they want. And then in 2019, when we get whatever version of macOS comes after Mojave, that's when this totally opens up so that third-party developers can start doing the whole iOS app recompiled for the Mac thing.
Yep.
And that's also the first year that macOS will be straight up 64-bit period.
Correct.
So that would be seems to me like a reasonable time to do the whole new iTunes as separate apps thing.
Yep. So, it makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah. And it also makes sense that that would have not been the first thing that Apple rolled out, like, you know, stocks and news and the other ones that I conveniently keep forgetting.
The home app.
The home app, that's one of them. There's one more, and someone's, you know, shaking their fist right now.
Yeah, I could go look in my apps folder.
Yeah, what's that, Andrew?
Was it voice memos?
Is that what it is? Is it voice memos?
Well, that definitely went to iPad.
Right. I don't think that went to the Mac. There's another one. Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right. Yeah. But it makes sense to start with these apps, several of which may not even matter, but to test this. And, you know, it's very contained and, you know, it's a thing, but it's not a thing. And it's also not replacing something that we had. It's adding functionality so they can be very controlled and limited about it as they figure out how does it work. And they're not changing the way people do things that they needed to do without some further testing. So it makes sense, but it also makes sense that iTunes the explosion of iTunes into several different things would be the thing here. So, yeah,
I am with you. And Dave, the way you nailed this whole iPhone apps moving to other places thing during the keynote, I thought was just amazing, which is why when you brought this up today, I thought, holy crap, this sounds like
it blew our minds.
Yeah, like this could be what's happening. So listeners, what happened during the Worldwide Developers Conference keynote? Dave and I were sitting there doing the live coverage, and we see these apps coming out for the iPad that hadn't been there before. And then Dave, you nailed it because you said this is what they're about to do.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, that's exactly what they announced within just a couple minutes of you saying that. And so your ability to see that and put the dots together before we had even more than a handful of dots, that was, I mean, you nailed it. So,
gee shucks. Thanks, Jeff.
So I'm thinking, based on your track record, you may have nailed it here too.
Maybe it's just, you know, it's Occam's razor, right? It the more, like, you know, there was the spark of the idea. And then the more I dig into it, it's like, oh, wow, that it makes sense for that reason too. And this reason and that, oh, of course, that, like, it'd be foolish. Like, I guarantee you they've already thought about this, whether they've taken it to its logical conclusion and realized, no, that's a really bad idea, we don't know, you know, or perhaps not even bad idea, but it's not the best idea, we don't know. But I'm pretty sure. I can't think of a reason that this would be bad, except from a user experience point of view, where as much as we hate iTunes, when they take it away from us, there are going to be things about it that we miss. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's just because we're humans and we don't like change. But so from that standpoint, yeah, like we will buck this if, in fact, this were to happen. But Apple's made it very clear over the years, they're OK with that. They know things are going to change. They'd rather be the ones to change it. And they're sort of willing to deal with the, you know, the unrest of the historically loyal. So there you go.
All right, so before we move on, I'm tossing this question out because I'm curious what you think. So if we take this whole idea of Apple taking the iOS apps that and split that become what iTunes is today.
Sure.
Does that mean Apple needs to make a couple more apps? Because iTunes also is the thing that interacts with our iPhones and iPads. So on the iPhone, we have the Watch app for dealing with Apple Watch. Does that mean Apple needs to make a phone app for the Mac to deal with that interaction with their iPhones and iPads?
Well, it would need to be a sync app, you know, and, and if they were still in the I realm and they hadn't already used the name, like iSync would make perfect sense.
They could bring the name back.
They could, but it would probably just be sync, you know.
Yeah, it would probably.
But yes, I mean, yeah, obviously that needs to, like, that, though there are less and less scenarios where people are relying on that app. I would assume Apple would build it. Otherwise, they're just leaving the door wide open for iMazing to grow even bigger than it is. So yeah, I think they would have to make an app essentially that competes with iMazing, at least, you know, on the surface. But I can't imagine Apple Sherlocking iMazing and offering functionality that actually replaces it.
I'm with you. I can see people reacting in the same way that they have to other apps, like 1Password. When Apple started doing their whole keychain thing, and everyone was like, oh, well, 1Password just got Sherlocked. No.
Yes. At a very top level, Apple builds a, you know, password manager. Okay, fair. Great. But that's not quite Sherlocking someone.
No. And this is Apple's modus operandi. They create a basic tool.
Correct.
And leave the market open for the more sophisticated tools for people that need something that goes beyond what Apple provided.
Yep. BusyCal and Fantastical exist for very good reasons. And those were created after Apple offered a calendar app, not before. So,
Yep. All right. Well, Dave, I think that you called it.
And we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay. So
it's at least fun to think about.
It is. So WWDC happens June-ish each year. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that we will be chatting with each other about this very thing after the keynote.
Well, and we'll all remember October 1st.
That's right. Yep. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs. And why that's cool is because we live in a world where there's a job market where employers need new employees. And if you're trying to find the right person to fill a spot in your business, and you can post on all different kinds of job boards online, and you're just going to get all these random resumes coming in. And in a lot of cases, the people applying for that job, they don't really care about the job and they don't care about the company. What they care about is, can I just find a place that'll give me a paycheck? And that isn't always the best fit. So if you can find a tool that helps you get the right employee the first time out, that sounds like a pretty cool thing. And that's what LinkedIn Jobs is. So the way this works is the people that are using LinkedIn already, which includes 70% of the workforce in the United States, they're looking for jobs on LinkedIn Jobs. And the people that are looking for what you're posting there tend to be the people that are actually more interested in working for you or with you, as opposed to just simply finding a job. They have a real interest in what it is that you do, and they want to be part of that, which means that there's a much better chance that you're going to find the right person right away, as opposed to having to weed through a lot of people and potential hiring and firing until you get it right. So LinkedIn Jobs, that's the place to go when you're hunting for new employees. And since you listen to Daily Observations, you get a special deal. You get $50 off your first job posting. So here's what to do. Hurry to linkedin.com/TDO and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/TDO to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/TDO. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor today. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about today, Andrew, you're the person that made this happen. You ran a piece on Friday where you mentioned that there are a bunch of tools and apps to enhance iOS. And I thought it would be really cool if you shared a few of those.
Yeah. So speaking of apps that go beyond Apple's apps, this is a big, giant, awesome list that I found. And I read through it. It's divided into categories like music, social, photos, stuff like that. And there are some apps on there that I've already been using for a while. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing photography for probably several years now. I mean, just as a hobby. And over the past, I'd say, year, I'd say that I edit my photos probably 95% in an app called VSCO.
And I know which app you're talking about. I'm going to spell it because not all our listeners will be familiar with it. It's VSCO.
Yeah.
VSCO.
So it's like part social network, part photo editor. It's a really cool tool to use. There are a lot of different filters that you can edit and change, and it can handle raw photos. And with the social network side, it's similar to Instagram, where you can share photos, repost other people's photos, but it's not based on likes or comments or anything. So it's a bit more like not that aspect, I guess. It's not like a popularity thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, another tool that I use, I've actually reviewed this app before. It's called Apollo, and it's a Reddit client, and it's a really, really good Reddit client.
Uh-huh.
It has a lot of features, and the person who created it was an intern at Apple, and when you use it, it does feel like if Apple made a Reddit client, it would be Apollo. It's a really cool one.
Huh. That's very cool.
I've never tried Apollo. Yeah, I got to try that. Huh. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you do most of your, it might take us in a slight detour here, but do you do most of your Reddit interactions from iOS, or do you still do them from macOS?
Mostly on iOS.
And using Apollo for that.
Yep.
Interesting.
And that's cool. Actually, he designed it for mobile users in mind. So
that's very good.
And so finally, the other app that I've used for is PDF Expert. And it's a PDF tool. It goes beyond Apple's preview tool. And it's part of other apps that it's by Readle, and you know, they have other apps. A lot of people use Documents as sort of a iOS file manager.
Yeah, Documents is a pretty cool app.
Yeah. And PDF Expert is a really powerful PDF manager. You can edit PDFs and add a signature and all that cool stuff to it. So I definitely recommend these tools.
Awesome. All right. Well, there's one tool on the list that that I keep wanting to go back and try again, and it's Spark, which is an alternative email client app.
Mm-hmm. Also made by Readle.
I was just going to say, yeah, mm-hmm. Same people. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I tried and then stopped using Spark, and this is a while ago, was because I couldn't put my digital certificate into Spark so that I could do secure email. And I need to go back and look and see if that's a thing it supports now. Because if it does, that'll be totally worth checking out again.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that Spark is an email app that also runs on the Mac.
That's true. Yep.
It really is meant to be, if we rewind to the day that BusyCal first came out, which was really the first of the third-party calendar apps that was worth anything on the Mac, and it was worth quite a bit in terms of functionality. But it came out, and we all called it iCal Pro, right?
Yes.
Spark very much feels, certainly their goal is to make Spark Mail Pro. And depending on how you use Mail, similar to depending on how you use the calendar, Spark may very well be Mail Pro for you. It was really close for me. I make use of a couple of plugins in Mail, some of which still haven't been updated for Mojave.
I'm having the same frustration.
Yep. Small cubed. But those plugins gave me some functionality specifically regarding how I send and filter messages, both from the keyboard and with automation. Their Mail Acton plugin gave me some things that I couldn't quite get in Spark, and I couldn't replicate the functionality a different way. So I have not switched over to using Spark. But as I told them when it first came out, like, this is the first third-party mail client in a long time that makes me think it might be worth switching away from Apple's. So there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm with you. The whole small cubed thing, their tools are actually really critical to my email workflow.
Yeah. And the past week's been really rough for me honest. Yeah.
It's been pretty rough for me too.
Yeah. It's added a lot to my stress level.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I feel your pain.
I'm with you, man. Yep.
Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. So Dave, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Always a fun time.
It's great to have both of you on the show. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/TDO, and get $50 off your first job posting, linkedin.com/TDO. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs. Listeners, I am so glad you were here. Thanks for listening. We will see everyone again tomorrow.